You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Now let's move backwards from college to high school. Mission High School in San Francisco has been designated as one of the, quote, persistently lowest achieving schools, among the lowest performing 5% in the state. When Mother Jones education reporter Christina Rizga saw that designation back in 2010, she was skeptical and decided to investigate. She embedded at Mission High School for 4 years, following teachers, students, and parents. And she says she was surprised that what was labeled as a failing school was actually thriving on the inside. It depends, she says, on how you measure success. She says going in, she expected noisy classrooms, hallway fights, and disgruntled staff, but instead found a welcoming atmosphere, satisfied students and parents, and an 88% college acceptance rate. Rizga wrote about her experience in a book called Mission High, One School, How Experts Tried to Fail It, and the Students and Teachers Who Made It Triumph. She joined me in studio, and we talked first about what drew her to Mission High to begin with.
There's so many stories about education out there, but we rarely hear from the actual students and teachers. So we wanted to get into an actual school and hear what students and teachers have to say about, what it takes to help all students succeed. What drew us specifically to Mission High School is we also wanted to go to a school that the government is identifying as low performing and as failing on many measures. And we wanted to find out, what is it, what is it that's getting in the way of for this school to succeed? Mission High was, one school in San Francisco that was identified as among the lowest 5% of performing schools in the country at the time in 2010.
In the country?
In the country, not just in the district, but in the country.
Okay. And this is according to who and what?
Yeah, basically, it's mostly based on standardized test scores. It's really the reason for most federal and state efforts when it comes to school reforms, because what we're really trying to figure out is how to fix those schools at the bottom.
Hmm. And so you determined the school and gained access, which you stayed in for 4 years.
I know.
You never left.
Yes, I never left. I graduated. Only after I graduated.
Yeah, you stayed there for
exactly.
The...
I think I deserve a diploma.
So when you first went there, in your mind, what was it that you were looking for? Did you have a set list of questions in your head, or were you going with an open mind?
I think that, the biggest immediate surprise was spending a day at Mission and having a hard time finding a person who disliked the school or was very unhappy. Most students used words like, I love this place, this is family, this is community.
Why was that surprising for you?
Because I think that, this was a school that was on the chopping block as far as the federal government was concerned. And we did close a lot of schools like these across the country in Chicago and in New Orleans. And, my assumption was if this school is labeled as bad, as failing, and it's on the chopping block, it should be probably a pretty terrible place. And I think that's why a lot of middle-class white parents are sort of fleeing these schools, because I think that's also their perception that's built by our most of our media coverage, and that's just not the case.
And you go in and you find what?
I find very high standards. I find professionalism. I find incredible dedication among staff. I find a lot of hard work. I also find, all sorts of other data that's, to me, signals success. Very high college enrollment rates, even though school educates 75% low-income students and 38% are English learners, very low suspension rates, graduation rates that are going up, dropout rates that are going down, fascinating small groups of teachers all over the school who are working together, trying to figure out how to close achievement gaps in their classrooms. So incredible pockets of work and authentic struggle that I see all over the school. And so all this other data is signaling that things are improving, but the big data, the kind that the state officials use, are not moving necessarily as much as they, as fast as they wanted to move. And so as far as they're concerned, the school is a failure and have nothing to teach us. Whereas in my mind, you know, after I've been there for 4 years, I think those are the places that have the most to teach us, because they're the ones who are teaching, you know, the most at-risk students. And they're actually figuring out every day what it actually means to help to close achievement gaps one classroom at a time, rather than state officials who just look at this big data, you know, and have really no idea what's driving this data. I mean, I found this enormous gap between what the conversation that happens at the classroom level and at the state level are completely different. At the state level, you know, you're hearing conversations about Common Core standards, and you hear about standardized testing.
API scores.
API scores, exactly. And if you go and spend time in the classrooms, that's not what you hear about from teachers. You know, for teachers, their questions are, you know, what does it take to teach writing to a student who struggles with grammar, even in Spanish, and doesn't speak English, and struggles with math? You know, how do we make her feel at home? You know, how do we teach her basics, but we also, how do we engage her intellect?
And none of that creativity is reflected in a number with the state.
Exactly, exactly. So that's the thing that, you know, and I think, but it is detected by skilled professionals. So at Mission High School, they have teacher leader groups, and they collaborate constantly, and they walk through classrooms and they look at all sorts of qualitative things. So they look at, are these students engaged, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And not just, are they excited? Because excitement also ultimately doesn't necessarily lead to content knowledge and learning. They're looking at actual student work. They're constantly combing, okay, what did you intend today with your lesson? Did they actually understand this act? Is it reflected in their writing? They're looking at all these things that only skilled professionals can detect. No accountability system in, you know, that I know of in any other country is able to detect this stuff without the actual teachers looking at this. Mm.
That's Christina Rizga. Her book is Mission High, One School, How Experts Tried to Fail It and the Students and Teachers Who Made It Triumph. So, Christina, what happens in the school that helps the children feel that they're not giving up on them?
A place like Mission, where there is an authentic struggle to improve on every measure, there's so much work that goes on to create this culture, invisible culture, school culture within this community that counters all, you know, all of the stereotypes that exist outside of the walls of Mission. I think that most of it happens actually in the classroom through the content that they bring, and, you know, they bring in the kind of content that allows students of different cultures see how people just like them, despite all the obstacles and challenges, were successful and have built, you know, thriving communities and have overcome all sorts of things. A lot of that work also happens just internally, celebrating and highlighting the, you know, the achievements that happen within a school that are completely invisible, you know, through data, but the kind of leadership, you know, for example, Mission High School has, relatively speaking, very few instances of bullying of gay students, but also, you know, racist remarks, things, you know, it's an incredibly inclusive and tolerant community. And this is the kind of thing that's sort of invisible to data, but it's there, and the school celebrates and, you know, highlights it. And it also, of course, sort of counters, you know, counters stereotypes that, oh, you know, our places are low-income schools, you know, that are failing, are violent places. Of course, like in any school, there are occasional, you know, conflicts and fights and drugs and, you know, as in any school, but that's not what defines that community at all.
What is the subtitle of your book? Can you say the subtitle again?
Yeah, of course. It's One School, How Experts Try to Fail It and the Students and Teachers Who Made It Triumph.
And so what experts tried to fail it, and are they succeeding?
No, they're not. It's a hopeful story. They're not succeeding. I think, you know, what I did with my book is I looked at hundreds, you know, of years of history of education reforms. And, you know, it's always a small elite
predominantly white male elite that sort of comes in and tries to fix students from low-income communities and students of color. And they would come in with these fixes, you know, closings, firing teachers, which, of course, now is happening with No Child Left Behind and other schools across the country. And it never worked. It didn't work. And whenever these experts, just like in any other country, empowered the community to come up with solutions and empowered teachers to solve problems in their classrooms, it does work.